you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we are studying Hebrews 3. We believe the book of Hebrews was written by Paul while he was in prison in Rome. He has primarily written this book to the Jews to convince them that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. Now, back in those times and even today, if a Jew becomes a Christian, sometimes they have to sacrifice their relationship with their families. And in the day of Paul's writing of this, they could be martyred for their faith. It's odd to hear Paul preach Jesus because he formerly killed Christians. He was on a crusade to do away with Jesus and most certainly didn't believe in him. But after he met Jesus on a Damascus road and he turned him completely around, now he's going in a different direction. That's what will happen when we meet Jesus. The problem is that many have not encountered him, but they will. We will encounter Jesus, either in this life or the life to come, as we all will all stand before God and give an account with what we did with Jesus. We have some wonderful things in Hebrews, but this chapter is a warning chapter. He warns us against having an evil heart of unbelief and not to harden our hearts against the gospel. He warns us that it can happen to us if we don't keep guard over our heart, whether we are a Jew or a Gentile. Now, he's specifically addressing the Jews because they're the ones that are having the most trouble with believing that Jesus is God. Is equal with God. They cannot accept that God would send himself to the people. They were looking more for a man than for God. The world today is looking for a man, and it's the Antichrist, and they will accept him, Jesus said. But when Jesus came and told them that he was God, they didn't accept him. And that's what Jesus told us they would do. If we can believe, it will bring us into rest with the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul is talking about a different rest here, the rest of the promised land, or we could talk about the rest of heaven, or we could talk about the rest of living a Christian life in peace and harmony in our souls and in our being. The scripture says the wicked rest not day nor night, so we want God's rest. Our lesson today is about unbelief. Paul says it is a grievous sin of unbelief. To not believe that Jesus is the Messiah is the ultimate unbelief. Paul is emphasizing Jesus' humanity again in chapter 3. All throughout Hebrews, he will emphasize his humanity as being the Messiah, but he will always say that he is God and try to convince these Jews that he is God. Now, up to this point, we've emphasized the way to salvation is to declare the righteousness of Christ in our profession of faith in him. Today, our focus will be on the other part of what Paul told us to do in order to receive salvation. We must first believe. He said in Romans 10:9-11, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The part that says, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, should be the first part of it, because you must believe first, and then you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Paul is telling us that those that are in unbelief have not even gotten to the part of believing yet. So we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he is the Lord Jesus, and that God raised him from the dead before we can confess him. But he says if we can believe, we will not be ashamed. Now, when is he talking about us not being ashamed? In the day of judgment, we will not be ashamed. We know we have to first believe in order to receive salvation, but even after salvation, we can be caught up in unbelief. He tells us about the children of Israel who were in Egypt, and they believed God in order to come out of Egypt, but when they got in the wilderness, they did not believe God and his promises of the Canaan land. None of the original Israelites that came out of Egypt were allowed to go into the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. Even Moses fell because of unbelief. He didn't believe God and became angry and smote the rock instead of speaking to it as God told him to do. He's telling us today, trust him for our salvation and for every area of our life. We are to trust God. And it's in trusting God that we will have victory. He has glory in our trusting him for the circumstances that are in our life. He wants us to trust him for the promises, and to believe means to trust. I went through a terrible time in my early Christian life, and I would talk to my sister about it, and she would always say, well, just trust God. Just trust God. And I thought, well, I am trusting God. But I really wasn't trusting God, or I wouldn't be having the problem. A lot of the problems is because we don't trust God, and we worry and we fret over them. We just have to turn it over to God and sing a song in our heart and just praise the Lord that he's going to give us the answer and go on our merry way, because the Lord does not want us to fret over troubles and to worry. And the worst thing that we can do is fear. If we walk in fear, we walk in defeat. If we walk in fear, we're not walking in trust. If in our Christian walk we take literally Romans 10 and we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we can believe that God can answer any problem in our life. If we can believe in such a great miracle as the resurrection, then we can believe for everyday problems that come in our lives. He has that kind of power. He can deliver us. He can set the captives free. He can heal us. He can provide for us if we can only believe. Paul tells us how the children of Israel provoked God in the wilderness because of their unbelief. There are many different definitions of unbelief. There are those who believe in God and may even believe in Jesus, but they love sin more. And then there are those who believe God and they believe in Jesus, but they don't really believe in his power to save them by his grace, and they substitute their works in order to try to please God. So they're not believing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ as sufficient to give us salvation. Then there are those who live in defeat all of their life because they're not trusting God. They're miserable Christians. And we can all fall into that category if we're not careful. And then there's the unbelief of where they just outright don't believe in God. There's not much you can do for someone who doesn't believe in God. Unbelief is not trusting in whatever area you need to trust God in. Unbelief brings forth hardness. It can sear our conscience where we cannot believe. They wax worse and worse. The more they hear of the gospel, the worse they get because they don't believe. We've talked about faith, but it has to be followed by obedience. God is expecting us to believe in what He says to do. So it's not the ones in the race that receive the crown, but the ones that are still standing when the battle's over. We want to make it. We want to serve Him. And He didn't just call us for a day or two and believe that first day when we receive salvation, but it's believing Him on a daily basis and dying daily to Him that we serve Him. Sin has a deceitfulness in it. When people get into sin, they don't know they're hardening their heart. They only think they're having a good time and they want it just for a season. They have plans to serve God, but not yet and not today. It's sad when somebody says, "No, not right now. Sorry, haven't got time for you right now." And that's the way that the Lord feels with us. He has extended salvation to us, but we say, "No, we don't have time right now, Lord. We will later." You know, Arthur Blessed was a minister who decided to take a cross and go all over the world carrying a cross. He told the Lord that He would be His slave. He said, "I want You to use me up for Your gospel." Many pray for luxuries of life, but Arthur Blessed carried this big, heavy cross across nations that didn't even believe in God. They knew the cross meant peace, and those countries that were hungry for peace let Arthur Blessed cross their country, even though they didn't believe in the cross. The Lord has promised us a rest. But some people thrive on turmoil, and they don't want rest. But rest is what Jesus offers. And when the Spirit of God has reached out to us to give us life, we should run to it. The world doesn't want God, but we do. We pant after the Lord as a deer pants for the water. The Lord is calling us to labor, witness, and warn while it's day, so we won't be caught up in unbelief. He's addressing chapter 3 to the partakers of the heavenly calling. And He's telling us in these verses to consider the Lord Jesus. Consider what He has done. Pay attention to Him. He calls Jesus an apostle. An apostle is one who is sent from God to the world. He's God's messenger to man. They had offered sacrifices in the past, and it was right at the time to do it. But now it's wrong because you have a heavenly calling to believe in Jesus. He tells them to consider Jesus as an apostle. Also consider Him as a high priest. Now, the apostle is one who takes messages from God to man. A high priest takes messages from man to God. And Jesus was both of these. Now, these Jews can really understand when they're talking about the high priest. unless you understand the temple and the offering of the sacrifice once a year by the high priest, you wouldn't understand what that word means. But the high priest was, as far as a Jew was concerned, the one next to God, that was praying directly to God and was making intercession for the people. And when Paul makes this statement that Jesus is a high priest to them, they're going to really question, because Jesus was not of the tribe of the Levites. And the tribe of Levi was the one that the priesthood came down through. So they have many questions. He says in verse 2 that Jesus was faithful to him who appointed him. Jesus was faithful to God. He was obedient to the cross. He also said that Moses was faithful in all his house. There were a group of rabbis who met in Colorado to discuss who was greater, Abraham or Moses. And they decided that Moses was greater than Abraham. But here Paul is saying that Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus was faithful, but so was Moses. Moses gave us the law and the Ten Commandments. Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount. So you might ask the question, how is the Lord greater than Moses? He talks about a house. This word appears 7 times in the next few chapters. He said, well, he's greater because he built the house. Moses was faithful to the house, but he didn't build the house. Now, what house is he talking about? The house that it's referring to is God's house, the temple of the Lord. He's not talking about the physical temple that was in Jerusalem, because that would be destroyed in just a few years. But he's talking about the man, the person. We are the temple of the Lord. And he's talking about who the builder of this temple is. Jesus said, in 3 days I'll raise this temple up, when he was resurrected from the dead. He was talking about his body. And so our bodies are the temple of the Lord. This is the house that he's talking about here. God created us, and Jesus was with God and is God when he created us. He says in verse 3 that this man, Jesus, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses because he built the house, so he deserves more honor. Even though Moses was faithful in his temple that he served the Lord, but he didn't build it. He says that Moses was the creature, a servant of God, but he was never called the Son of God. Now, there's a difference between being a son and a servant. Christ is the Creator and he is the Son. So Paul is beginning this chapter with trying to convince them of Jesus so they will believe and not remain in unbelief. Then in verses 7 through 19, he's talking about the dangers of not believing. He quotes Psalms 95 and 7 in verse 7. If you will not harden your heart, and you will hearken unto his voice, that you can enter into his rest. He says that Israel was given to us for an example of how to believe and the consequences of unbelief. They doubted God, and because they doubted God, they shall not enter into my rest, the Lord says. Paul, in one point in the scripture, said, who hindered you from believing? Or we might say, what hindered you from believing? We can begin a good work, but we can be hindered from receiving what God really wants to do in us by just not believing enough. The Canaan rest that's spoken of in Psalms 95 is talking about entering into the promises of God. What are the promises that Jesus gave us? He said, I'll go to my Father and I'll pray for you. He said, I'll be with you even unto the end. I will send you the Comforter. He also said, if I go away, I will come again. In verse 10, Paul says that God was grieved with this generation of Israelites in Moses' time, and this was his warning. His message is that the current Hebrew Jew was in the same kind of danger as their ancestors, and that danger was in the Aaron in their hearts. He says because of unbelief, that generation didn't enter in. They didn't believe God. There are many wilderness Christians today who are in a place of unrest and aimlessness as they were in the wilderness. They're not happy no matter what condition or circumstance they're in. That's the same condition of unbelievers. And God was angry with them because they didn't believe His word, and that was their great sin. Now, verse 12, he talks about, take heed lest you have an evil heart of departing from the Lord. Paul was in prison during this time, and one of his fellow missionaries, Demas, had left the faith. He had departed. And Paul was in prison and was depending upon Demas, and he was nowhere to be found. I think that's part of the reason he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And the town that Demas went to was the Las Vegas of that day. So he had chosen the world rather than to suffer with the apostle. In verse 17, Paul says, with whom was the Lord grieved for 40 years? It was those in the wilderness. They thought it was better to worship idols in Egypt, something carnal that they could see, rather than to walk by faith and trust God. The great sin of unbelief is a robber of the soul. Now let's read Hebrews 3 in the New Living Translation. Jesus is greater than Moses. And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are bound for heaven, think about this Jesus whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. For he was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully and was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses, just as a person who builds a fine house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but God is the one who made everything. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house, but only as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, the faithful Son, was in charge of the entire household. And we are God's household if we keep up our courage and we remain confident in our hope in Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit says, today you must listen to His voice. Don't harden your hearts against Him as Israel did when they rebelled and when they tested God's patience in the wilderness. There your ancestors tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I made a vow, they will never enter my place of rest. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. But never forget the warning. Today you must listen to His voice. Don't harden your hearts against Him as Israel did when they rebelled. And who were those people who rebelled against God, even though they heard His voice? Weren't they the ones Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness, and to whom God was speaking when He vowed that they would never enter His place of rest? So we see that they were not allowed to enter His rest because of their unbelief. Those people who keep their faith until the end will be saved. He doesn't say if you succeed, you'll be saved, or if you come out on top, you'll be saved. He says if you endure. An accurate rendering would be, if you hang in there until the end. The Brazilians have a great phrase for this. In Portuguese, a person who has the ability to hang in and not give up has garra. Garra means claws. A person with garra has claws which burrow into the side of the cliff and keep him from falling. So do the saved. They may get close to the edge. They may even stumble and slide, but they will dig their nails into the rock of God and hang on. Jesus is our rock, and He gives us this assurance. If you hang on, He'll make sure that you get home. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we are so thankful that You have sent us the gospel and that You have told us about Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that You would increase our faith, that You would give us more strength, and that You would help us in our resolve to serve You every day, and that we'd not harden our heart, but we would believe Your word and believe that You love us. We know, Lord, that we will never be separated from Your love, and we can trust in You. Forgive our sins and lead us not into temptation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. It's a heavenly place, and He's laid.